Exodus 2, verse 1. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the river bank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." This is the word of God.
A strange passage maybe for Mother's Day. So Simon put this together, and then I found out I got it. It's got about throwing your children into a river. Maybe not the best Mother's Day pass, but we'll see. It's really great. Let me say, as you can probably know from my accent, I wasn't born here. And I need to be careful because Mother's Day in South Africa is on a different date. In fact, Mother's Day in the US, Canada, Australia, and South Africa is on a different month. Anyone could tell me what month they think that is? Sorry? May. Yes, well done, May. Okay. There's Mothering Sunday and it's Mother's Day, and there's an interesting history with that, why it happened. But the reason why American Mother's Day is different is because the lady that started Mother's Day in the US, even though Mothering Sunday was going on in the UK for a long time, did it round when her mother had passed away. And so she celebrated it to celebrate her mother, and then it caught on and it went around the world, and she's quite upset by the commercialization of it. So let me say, when we celebrate Mother's Day today, it's a really a happy day, but it can also be a sad day. I know at least two of you today have lost your mother in the last year, and there's more. It's a strange mix, but let me say also, there's people in church that haven't had children, and that might be a strange day for you as well. I remember the church I grew up in, they gave people flowers, but you had to be a mother. So, you know, it was a bit awkward sometimes if a woman got given them, so actually I haven't had children, or I've lost children, or something like that. But the church view mothers and fathers differently. We are family. So I grew up without a dad. Well, I lost my dad when I was 12, not when he was 12. And I grew up in a church seeing older men and women model what it was like to be a Christian male and female in different stages of life. So I just want to say that when we celebrate Mothering Sunday, we're celebrating people in the church, mothers that might not actually have an impact, that have an impact on us, even though we might not be related. I thought maybe to get us thinking about mothers, I could do a quiz on what mothers are called with animals. So what's a mother or a female horse called? Anyone want to tell me? Hand. Sorry? Okay, you shout it out then. Mare, that's an easy one. A female cat. Sorry? Queen, yeah, well done, Nikki. Nikki's really on fire today. There's one that, okay, a female peacock. Peahen. Okay, so here, what do you call baby peacocks? Chickpeas. That's my own joke, I made it up, copyright Scott. Thank you for laughing. How about this? This is the clue's in the name. What's a female hedgehog called? Oh, I stumped you on that one. Sorry? Sal, well done. But you're never going to get this one, okay? One to stump. A female lobster. Do you even know what a lobster is? You know, like a crayfish. Which one's got the claw? I don't know. Okay, a female lobster is called, anyone want to guess? A hen. So next time you meet a female lobster, you can address them as hen. Okay, so here we have a story, and I'm going to need, can my volunteers come up? You guys going to come? We're going to make, we see a story of a basket that gets put in the river. let me say, this is really interesting. The same word is used as the word ark. So there's a little bit of a, it's the only time used in the Bible. It's a strange word. It's ark as in Noah's ark. But here's our basket. So we're gonna build it. I don't know if people are on camera. Is Zoom on today? No, anyway. Hopefully you can see this. So guys, you can help me. Let's build the basket for the baby. Can you hold that? Okay, you put this one up. You balance it there. Okay, there. Okay, let's get the next one. Okay, you balance it there. Okay. Oh, don't worry. Oh, no, this is terrible. Okay. Let me take. Now I'm caught in it. Okay. Let's do that there. Next one. Okay. Yeah, we got it. We got it. Don't worry. Thank you so much for your help. Now, okay. So, now the next thing is, can you get two things? Can you each get something out that bag over there? Now the thing is, we're told it needs to be waterproof. So we got a bag. Oh gosh, this is a disaster. Okay, hopefully, I'm sure Moses' mom was better at this than me. Okay, we have, don't need the baby yet. Can you get the raincoat? Okay, so they coated it with pitch. They made it waterproof. Okay, I haven't got pitch and tar at home. But I thought, here's a waterproof raincoat. Let's do this. It's waterproof. Okay, and now can you go put Moses in the basket there? Thank you. Brilliant. Thank you. Take a seat. Do you do that with your baby sisters? Okay, thank you so much. Give them a hand. Now, it's seaworthy. Let me say, there's a movie called The Prince of Egypt, which was an older movie, but animated. Steven Spielberg. It's a bit of a favorite with my daughter. And there's the scene where they put Moses in the basket, and it's amazing. It goes like on the river. There's crocodiles snapping, and it bounces over. It just didn't happen like that. We see that Moses' sister came and placed the basket in reeds in a river. She knew that the queen was coming, the princess was coming along. The princess, when she saw it, I thought, oh, it's one of the Hebrew babies. Now, why is that? Because we omitted a verse. It's a frightening verse. It's in just before it. And this was what the king said. The king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, in 22, gave the order to all, this is 122, all peoples, every boy that was born must be thrown into the Nile. So any males here, stick up your hand. Okay. Some people, it's all right if you're confused. The thing is, you would have ended up drowned as a baby. Okay? That's awful. So put your hands down. Okay? But if you're a girl or female, and you put up your hands. Are you female? I'm glad some people know this. But they were allowed to live. So this is a terrible thing. So all the boys, the king of Egypt was trying to exterminate a race or keep the numbers down. And when the princess sees this, she goes, oh, it must be one of the babies that the king ordered to be thrown into the Nile and washed away. But the mothering instinct kicks in. Don't think she had children already. And she says, oh, it's a baby. And her heart goes out to it. She picks it up. Very maternal thing to do. Us men sometimes have a baby's crying, trying to run away. But she picked him up. And then the most amazing thing, God in his big plan, and I think the mother and the daughter scheming. The daughter, his sister, Moses' sister, runs up and says, oh, do you need someone to nurse it? So give it milk. any woman that have had children can do that. And I think it was probably up to the age of 3 in those days. They needed someone to give them. There was no nest spray or what is the formulas and everything like that. None of that. And so Moses' mom gets paid to look after him and bring him up. So it's really amazing because at the beginning was the king of the land ordered kill all the male children. His parents trust God and said, no, we're not going to do that. And then trusted God for a plan. And we'll see that it saved Moses. And later on, Moses would grow up to be the savior of a nation just because his parents trusted God. So I've got a few inventions that have changed the world, and I want you to be able to guess if you know what they've got in common. First of all, it's the life raft. So the inflatable one comes up, you drown, you know, keeps you safe. A Kevlar vest. Kevlar vest. Anyone know what a Kevlar vest is? Okay. It stops bullets and knives and things like that. So what was the other one? Oh, feeding tube. So my daughter wouldn't be alive if the feeding tube hadn't been invented, because when she was born, there were problems. So feeding tube when you're in hospital, feeds you food. And home security system. So someone invented that. I was growing up in South Africa. That was a very important thing to keep you safe. So Kevlar vest, life raft, home security system. What do those all have in common, do you think? Yes? They keep you safe, which is brilliant. That's the one thing I want to get at. But anything else? Yes? They're all invented by a woman, okay? Didn't know that. Well done. They're all invented by a woman. And it is interesting that it does seem to be, a man maybe invents a gun and a woman invents something to stop someone getting hurt. It's just really interesting. Though women have done other things as well. But it's all these great inventions which save and nurture people's lives. We see, I want to read to you Hebrews 11, verse 23. It's just our other verse, and it kind of looks back at the story of Moses and makes sense of it. And it's giving in Hebrews, it's looking back through history, and it's saying, these are different people that by faith trusted God. Faith just means saying, God, I can't do it. Please help me. I need your help. I haven't got the power to do it myself, but I'm going to trust you to do it. And it says this, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child. I'm sure every parent sees that. But anyway, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So the king of the most powerful nation at that time, the king that didn't even have the law to get in the way, that could execute you like that, put out a law, you put your child, you execute your child. If not, you'll be executed. They chose to say, we're not going to listen to him. We're going to trust God rather. And so they went up against what the world said versus what God said. And that really is a thing that goes throughout history. What does God say versus what the world says? What people in power say? Whether it be bishops or politicians or some whoever, and say, no, I want to listen to what God says. And that's really a mark of being a Christian, being courageous and standing up to whatever is out there. And they did that, and they trusted God, and we'll see that God commends them for that. Now, the thing is, I want to ask you, I actually saw one or two people drinking water in church here. Water, is it a good thing or a bad thing? Thumbs up, good thing. Yeah, yeah. If you're stuck out in sea on that life raft, you might probably go, bad thing. Water is amazing. It brings life, but also we see people drown from water. And here we have Moses put in the basket, and the king used the water to destroy life. But God used it to save life. And so Moses would grow up. He'd be rescued. He would grow up and he would become the rescuer of the people. He would bring them to safety through God's help. And so if Moses had drowned, it wouldn't have happened. Water, which was used for life but also was used to destroy life, amazingly, even though it was something to destroy life, was used to save life, a bit like our inventions. And so here we got our boss. You see, it was pointing towards something. Can you think of anything else in the Bible that was used as a symbol to destroy life? Yet for Christians, we look at it and go, oh, there's a life raft. There's a life preserver. There's a Kevlar vest. Can you think of anything like that? Let me just say, what? The cross, well done. So can you say, Christians, we've got a cross up there. Maybe you have it around your neck. Maybe you have it on your Bible. Let me just say, if you were a Roman citizen in the first century, you thought, those guys are weird. It's like having a little mini electric chair hanging around your neck, or a hangman's noose, and having it decorated on top of your church. It's terrifying. It's weird. Or maybe if you're in France, the guillotine. It was a means of keeping people frightened and a means of saying the worst possible criminal is going to die like this. And if you watch out, if you don't listen to the king, it's going to happen to you. But for Christians, we look at it and we see there's life. And so that little basket in the water was pointing towards something. Okay. Just move Moses. Ark pointing towards. Ta-da! Okay, great. So it's just come apart. The cross for Christians means life. To the world, it meant death, but to Christians, it means life. And Jesus, on the night before he went to it, said, God, if there's any other way, but not my will, but yours. And he encouraged his followers to pick up their cross to follow him as if they're going to die. And God showed that he was king over death by letting people live. And so we see the cross is a thing that should bring death, but brings life. And Christians look to it. And it means the salvation, not just so that the Hebrews through Moses were saved for a while. They went out, they followed God, they saw things being sacrificed to deal with their sin problem. They couldn't quite picture it, but it was all pointing towards the day when God himself would die on a cross in the place for people like you and me who want it, and that we can say, we look to God and say, that actually brings life. That's like a life preserver. And so what that means is, tomorrow, if you call yourself a Christian, I don't know what you're facing. You might not be facing execution, but you're facing some problem, you're facing some uncertainty, you're facing some fear, something that causes anxiety. It might have got to be to do with your mother or your child or some worry. And if God can turn a river that killed lots of babies into a means of salvation, if God can turn a cross, a means of fear, into salvation for everyone, you can trust your Father in heaven to get you through it. And you can look to the cross. Father God, thank you that you do things that are totally strange, upside down, twisty-turvy, that turn everything on its head. You can use a means of destruction and death to bring rescue. And so, Father God, we pray that if Jesus could trust you, if Christians throughout the world can trust you through the cross, we can trust you whatever life throws at us tomorrow. So help us to look to the cross and see that you can turn death into life. Like those great inventions made by ladies, you have invented something that brings life for everyone who trusts in you. Amen.